During his lifetime, Rudolf Hess served, it politically at least, as Adolf Hitler's second in command. He was Adolf Hitler's deputy during the 1930s and the early 40s, and the last surviving member of Hitler's cabinet. He died in 1987 of suicide while he was in prison at the age of 93. He was buried, according to his own wishes, in a family plot next to a small church in a small German town. But that was not the end of Rudolf Hess's story. His graveyard became a shrine to neo-Nazis, and to try and combat the congregation there, in which people would come into the graveyard, spend hours, and sometimes salute the grave in a Nazi salute, German authorities exhumed Hess's remains with the agreement of Hess's family and then scattered his ashes in an unknown place. Joining us now, Dr. Ephraim Zuroff, director of the Simon Wiesenthal Center's Israel office and author of Operation Last Chance, One Man's Quest to Bring Nazi Criminals to Justice. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, good afternoon from Jerusalem.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, would you call Rudolf Hess's grave, do you think it had become a mecca for neo-Nazis?
Well, that appears to be the case, and obviously there's something that is cause for concern. We don't want to give neo-Nazis shrines or, you know, fair shrines for them or have places where they can engage in hero worship of some of the most heinous criminals of World War II.
Although in that attempt to remove anything that could be a place of pilgrimage is a little bit like whack-a-mole. If they don't go to visit Rudolf Hess's grave, there's many other landmarks that neo-Nazis could visit to commemorate the days of the Nazi Party in Germany, right?
There are. No, undoubtedly there are. There are all sorts of landmarks, but obviously if we reduce the number, that improves our chances of limiting the hero worship.
Does it address the larger problem of the fact that there are today even a resurgence in some say in neo-Nazi groups, and what exactly that means about the relations between not just races but between the Jewish faith and the rest of the larger European community?
Well, there's no question that there has been a resurgence of neo-Nazism and fascism and right-wing extremism, and this has a lot to do with the establishment of the European Union and globalization and the fear of loss of national identity, and of course the economic recession and problems of unemployment. So all those are factors in what we're seeing, and obviously it's extremely important to remain vigilant in monitoring these phenomena and these movements, and to do what can be done in terms of educating our young people in such a way that they would obviously shun membership or affiliation with any such movements.
We're speaking with Dr. Ephraim Zuroff, director of the Simon Wiesenthal Center's Israel office, author of Operation Last Chance, One Man's Quest to Bring Nazi Criminals to Justice. And in fact, Doctor, you're known in some circles as the last Nazi hunter, right?
That is correct. As a matter of fact, I'm just returning from Budapest, where we had a terrible decision on Monday in the case of a Hungarian Nazi collaborator / war criminal named Sándor Capiro, who was one of the officers who organized the massacre of at least 1,246 innocent residents in the Serbian city of Novi Sad. And contrary to our expectations, I think the expectations of practically everyone in Hungary, a court in Budapest acquitted him in a absolutely outrageous decision, which I think is more a reflection of the currents, the right-wing currents running in other words, present contemporary Hungary than the actual evidence of the case.
Well, how many Nazis are there left to hunt?
Oh, you'd be amazed. You'd be absolutely amazed. There are literally hundreds of investigations going on in about a dozen countries all over the world. And it's actually a global problem because it's not only the countries to which, let's say, people return home, but also countries very far from Europe to which Nazi war criminals escape. So this is an issue that is still very much alive, far more alive than most people realize. And as a matter of fact, in the last decade, and we've been keeping tabs for the last decade, there have been 89 successful legal decisions against Nazi war criminals.
Would you count this exhumation of Rudolf Hess's remains as one of those successful operations, at least?
No. We're talking about actual court cases.
Yeah.
Of people suspected and ultimately proven to have participated in Nazi war crimes and Holocaust crimes. And this is, I think, a figure that will shock most of our listeners, because the general, you know, most people might know about one or two cases. The Daniel Yule case, for example, was a very famous case, in which a conviction was obtained not that long ago. But most people, this is happening under the radar. It hasn't gotten a lot of attention. Although the case in Budapest this week of Sándor Capiro did get a lot of attention. I think he's the oldest person who's ever been put on trial for Nazi war crimes. And I found him 4 years ago living in Budapest. As a matter of fact, there's a whole chapter in my book about this case, which is an absolutely amazing case, which clearly shows that a single person doing a good deed, which in this case meant reporting to the Silent Wiesenthal Center that an elderly Hungarian was bragging about his participation in the deportation of Jews to the Auschwitz death camp, can lead to the exposure, a revelation, and ultimately prosecution of a Nazi war criminal.
That's Dr. Ephraim Zuroff, called the last Nazi hunter. He's the director of the Simon Wiesenthal Center's Israel office, talking about the exhumation of Rudolf Hess's remains, exhumed and burned.